Gospel for today is my change up on the lectionary. The lectionary reading was actually supposed to be the one Beth talked about, so she got it covered from John 20. But I chose to preach today on the one that's assigned for next Sunday, fishing everything around, which is John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Praise to you, Lord Christ, for your word. You can be seated. How many fish did you catch? That's what you ask a fisherman, and we love to answer. We will gladly share that statistic along with answers to questions you didn't ask, like the length, weight, and how many minutes it took to land the big one, how many were almost caught, and maybe the water temperature and the size of the leader and the fly being used. A fisherman's love for measuring his catch is probably only matched by a mother's or grandmother's love for the measurement of a newborn. I can't remember it all, but I'm sure Beth can tell you how much each of our daughters weighed at birth, and likewise for our grandson. Ask that new mother or grandmother, and you may also hear not just about weight, but about length and hours of labor, Apgar score, and as they grow, the child's percentile among other babies of the same age. Jesus' disciples were like other fishermen, writing his gospel maybe 40, 50 years after the events we just read. John wrote verse 11 about the number of fish that were caught. As Oregon writer David James Duncan points out in his marvelous book, The River Why, we learn the net contained not a boatload of fish, nor about 100 and a half, nor over a gross, but precisely 153. For 2,000 years, Bible readers and theologians have operated on the principle that if John was so careful to write down that precise number, then it must be important. There must be some profound significance to 153. The great Bible translator Jerome cited the classical writer Oppian, who wrote a long poem about fishing for the Emperor Marcus Aurelius. Jerome said Oppian named 153 species of fish in the world. So Jerome concluded that the 153 fish in the net were one of each kind, demonstrating that Jesus would bring people from every tribe and nation on earth into his kingdom. In Matthew 13, 47 and 48, Jesus did say that the kingdom of God is like a fishing net that draws fish of every kind. The problem is that the best counts on Oppian's poem make it about 157 sorts of fish. So Jerome either miscounted or was fudging a little, which is not uncommon for fishing statistics. Other interpreters have been even more imaginative. Augustine was maybe the first to note that 153 is the triangular sum of 17. Now, this has to do with like the rows in the triangle of bowling pins. And if, bowling pins go 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, if you add up all the numbers in that sequence, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, you get 10 bowling pins. And so 10 is the triangular number of 4. Well, 153 is what you get if you add 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 all the way up to 17. Augustine then says 17 is the important number, the significant number, and 17, he says, is clearly the Ten Commandments plus those seven spirits before the throne of God in our reading from Revelation this morning, the sevenfold Holy Spirit. Or, perhaps, you might remember that Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, and then they took up 12 loaves, or 12 baskets of leftovers. 5 plus 12 equals 17. What could be more plain? Other writers have gone after 153 a little differently, adding up those digits themselves. 1 plus 5 plus 3 equals 9. Well, 9 is 3 times 3. That's the Trinity squared. What could be more obvious? More recently, scholars acquainted with Jewish methods of interpretation have applied a system called gematria to the sum of those fish. In gematria, every letter of the alphabet is linked to a number. And so in English, A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3. You know, you've done secret codes like this kind of stuff. So you assign a number then to every letter in a word and then add those numbers up. And that'll give you a number for the word. Take the word rock. Add up its numbers and you get 47. Now that's got nothing to do with anything except stay with me. Turn over to Ezekiel 47, where you read about the great river which flows out from the temple and transforms the Dead Sea, making salt water into fresh water. Verse 10 of Ezekiel 47 says that fishermen, there they are again, will stand on the shore and spread their nets from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, and they'll catch fish of many kinds. Well, En means spring, so we'll just let that go. Gedi means goat, and Eglaim means calf. And so it means catching fish from the spring of the goat to the spring of the calf on that river. And if you do gematria on the Hebrew letters of Gedi, you get 17. And Eglaim gives you 153. How about that? Someone else tried it in Greek rather than Hebrew and found that the gematria number for Simon equals 76. For fish, it's 77. 76 plus 77 equals 153. Having fun yet? You can also take the number of the apostles, which is 12, square it, get 144. Take the number of the Trinity, square it, and get 9, add them together, and there it is again, 153. It's a really, really cool number. We could probably go on for a while this way, finding all sorts of spiritual meaning in that number. The truth is that no one can say for sure that John or the Holy Spirit intended any of those mathematical meanings when he wrote that there were 153 fish in the net. Actually, I hope going through all these relatively silly ways that have been dreamed out to parse out that particular number will make you just a little more skeptical of Bible code sorts of nonsense which purport to find hidden meanings in Scripture using devices like we just did, counting words, gematria, etc. It is a significant number, though. It's significant is the fact that we have it. It's a very, very specific number. Listen to David James Duncan again. He writes, "Consider the circumstances. This is after the crucifixion and the resurrection. Jesus is standing on the beach, newly risen from the dead, and it's only the third time the disciples have seen him since the nightmare of Calvary. And yet we learn that in the net there were great fishes numbering precisely 153. How was this digit discovered?" asked Duncan. "Mustn't," he says, "it have happened thus. Upon hauling the net to shore, the disciples squatted down by that immense writhing fish pile and started tossing them into a second pile, painstakingly counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up to 153. While the newly risen Lord of creation, the sustainer of their beings, he who died for them and for whom they would gladly die, stood waiting, ignored, till the heap of fish was quantified. Such is the fisherman's compulsion toward rudimentary mathematics." And so the significance of that number is that we're given the number. The disciples counted the fish. They cared about how many they caught. They cared enough to put off talking with Jesus for a little while. Maybe Jesus himself wanted to know how many. Look at the connection that John, then, the beloved disciple, saw and told Peter in verse 7. "It is the Lord." That fishing miracle was the same kind of thing that happened when they first met Jesus. Luke 5 is one place to find that. They had been fishing hard all night, but not caught anything. And then Jesus comes along, and suddenly they're catching huge amounts of fish. How did Jesus explain that to them? "As I said to the children, as they followed him," he said, "they had learned to fish for people. They had learned to draw men and women and children into God's kingdom." This after the resurrection fishing miracle happened, and the number was recorded by John to say that the mission is still the same. After all that had happened, Jesus still wanted them, in the old words, to be fishers of men. He still meant for his apostles to help bring in every person who wants to be saved by the grace of Jesus. And each and every one of those persons is important enough to be counted. In a few weeks on Pentecost, we'll read Acts chapter 2. We will hear Peter quote from the prophet Joel, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then later in the chapter, we'll learn that they counted how many were saved that day, 3,000 who believed and trusted in Jesus. A little further on, we read that after Pentecost, God added to their number each day. They were keeping count, doing their angler's math for this new and beautiful sort of fishing. Jesus wants to bring everyone into the circle, into the net of his love and grace, and every single person counts. That's why we keep church records. That's been one of my responsibilities as a pastor, and I'll be passing that on now. That's why we have deacons who tried very hard to stay in touch with everyone for the last 2 years during the pandemic. Everyone counts in God's kingdom. Everyone counts here in Valley Covenant Church. We are joining in Jesus' mission to bring the world to God. And so, like good fishermen, we count the fish. Let's return to our text. In the rest of verse 7, that intrepid fisherman, Peter, is ready to jump back in with both feet. When he knew it was Jesus standing there, he jumped out of the boat and swam to shore, leaving the other disciples to drag in and count that pile of fish. Verse 9 says Jesus had already started a fire there on the beach and cooked some other fish. I wonder if he caught those himself. In any case, Jesus told them to bring some of the fresh-caught fish. They sat down and broke bread and ate fish with Jesus, which may have reminded them how they once shared bread and fish with a huge crowd along those same shores. Jesus was giving them all sorts of signs that he was the same master they had followed for 2 or 3 years, risen from the dead now. In verse 15, though, the focus changes, gets more serious, as it often does in conversation when a meal's over. Jesus began a conversation with Peter, asking him the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Jesus either meant, "Do you love me more than all this fishing business, more than the boats and the nets and the water and all of it?" Or he meant, "Do you love me more than these other disciples do?" I'm not going to try to decide that. But either way, Peter immediately understood that Jesus was looking for a reaffirmation of his personal commitment. Jesus looked him in the eye and asked for a declaration of loyalty, of love. And Peter responded like you or I might respond to a spouse or a child who asks us that question. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." You may have heard sermons or read books where someone makes a big deal out of the fact that Jesus used one word for love, while Peter used a different, supposedly weaker word for love. And they'll tell you that Jesus used the Greek word agape, asking his disciples something like, "Do you love me with all your heart?" Peter, they'll say, replied using the Greek word phileo, saying, "Yes, Lord, you know we're friends." But forget all that. It's on the wrong track. First of all, Jesus and Peter were most likely conversing in Aramaic, not Greek. And so there's been a translation from whatever the original words were already. And secondly, in John's gospel, those two words for love are pretty much interchangeable. As a writer, and some of you who are writers will get this, John just likes to vary his language a bit to avoid dull repetition of the same word over and over. Right here in the same passage, Jesus responds to Peter and says, tells him what he wants him to do, and Jesus uses different words each of the three times. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Same idea expressed with slightly different words each time. It's the same way with the two words for love here. It's as silly to look for subtle differences in those words as it is to start mathematically carving up 153. The point is that Jesus asked Peter the question three times. It's the repetition of the question, not Jesus' choice of words, which shook Peter down to the core of his soul. Verse 17 tells us Peter felt hurt. I think other translations might say something that he was sorrowful when he was asked the third time if he loved Jesus. Three was the number that fish-counting disciple remembered very well. Three was how many times Peter denied Jesus on the night before the crucifixion. After declaring publicly on three occasions that he didn't know Jesus, Peter was now being given the opportunity to declare publicly three times that he not only knew but loved Jesus. This was Peter's rehabilitation, his welcome back into that mission of catching fish, of proclaiming the good news about Jesus and bringing people into the kingdom of God. But now, as he dealt with Peter's own failure, regret, and pain, Jesus added another dimension to the mission. He didn't talk about fish to Peter. He talked about sheep. Sheep get counted too. Jesus told a parable about a shepherd who knew exactly how many sheep he had, 100 of them. And when one was missing, the shepherd knew and went looking for it. But unlike fish, sheep also need care. And so Jesus told Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus was telling his disciples, there would be other people like Peter. They would be burdened and troubled by their sins. They would be overwhelmed by traumatic events and by sorrows they had experienced. Just like Jesus was doing for Peter right then, his people ongoing would need to be loved and cared for down through the ages. Here at the end of John's gospel, then, it's not just count the fish, it's feed my sheep. Jesus gave Peter those two parts to his mission. Peter was the leader, the representative of all the apostles, and so he also represents all of us who follow Jesus. Our mission has both dimensions to it. We count the fish and we feed the sheep. Counting the fish, we want to reach out into our neighborhood and local community, as well as into the larger world to bring people to Jesus Christ. Yet, as we bring men, women, and children to Jesus, drawing them into his kingdom, we also realize how much they and how much we need to be fed and cared for like sheep. We can't treat each other or the people around us like mere fish to be counted and then tossed in the cooler while we try for another. With Peter, we have a mission to love and feed and care for our Lord's sheep, for the people he brings into the net of his love and grace. I've tried to practice that mission over the years here as your pastor, counting fish and feeding sheep. Now I'm getting ready to hand those ministries off to you all. and to the person who will follow me as pastor. Like Jesus said to Peter at the end of the text, when you get old, you don't really know where you'll be led. But I do know that the Lord will continue to lead you and me, and through you and those yet to come here, God will continue to gather people in and to care for them here at Valley Covenant Church. Please keep inviting your friends to church with you. Please keep offering Sunday school for children and fellowship and Bible study for adults. Please keep supporting missions that share Jesus far away and supporting ministries that help people around us right here. Fix up the building this year to make it warmer and inviting, and keep that trailer space available out there for someone in need. Count the fish who are gathered in by all you do. But with Peter, also keep joining the Great Shepherd in caring for the people he is saving. Continue to greet each other warmly and to phone those who seem to be missing. Take meals to those who are sick or just overwhelmed with life. Teach those children and care for the littlest ones in the nursery and children's church so both they and their moms and dads feel loved by Jesus. Always, always, always pray for each other. Feed the sheep. Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, but then asked Peter to love those whom Jesus loved. We net the fish with love, and we feed the sheep with love. At the end of the River Wye, Duncan quotes Meister Eckhart, who says, God's love is like a fisherman's hook. He who is caught by it is held by the strongest of bonds. Love is the way Jesus caught Peter and then brought him back after he ran away. Love is how Jesus reaches down and pulls in each of us. That line of love runs through you then to those around you, hooking and drawing them to Jesus as well. May you and I stay fastened on the line of our Savior's love, caught up in the net of His grace, counted and cared for, counting and caring for each other. Then when the time comes, He will draw us all home to fish forever in that beautiful river which flows from the throne of God, and to cast our nets into the crystal sea which spreads out before it. Amen.